Posting, posting. Here we are. We're there. This is Learning Together, another episode of Learning Together. And this is the 14th of July. Happy Independence Day to any French we have listening. And, of course, they could be listening, if not live on the stream. They're not in the Hangout, probably. But we also have recordings. So you might be listening on the recording. So it's July 14th, 2013. We're going to have a discussion today about Amara, amara.org, which is a little captioning or, what do you call them? The little tag at the bottom. The transcribes the lyrics for you, or you transcribe the lyrics, and it helps you make lyrics to media. So we're going to find out what kind of media you can use and possibly some alternatives. And I might say a little, some of us have been playing with it. I was playing with it earlier today, and I found it really easy to use. And so it's just an interesting tool. We got interested in it because Claudia and Lucia, and I think that's Lucia. I recognize the logo. Hi, Lucia. She's just joined us, and your name just came up. She did a lot of work transcribing our last MOOC session that we had, and so we've got a recording of that, MP3 recordings, YouTube recordings, and also now this transcription, which has been a little bit cleaned up through crowdsourcing. So welcome, everybody. Maybe we could go around and have people introduce themselves and say who's here. Test your mic.
So being to your right, I will
there you are.
Introduce myself. My name is Nina Liakos. I'm experimenting with my lower third and unable to move my flag from right to left.
It's just right. You're looking out through
I'm
it.
Looking
We're looking
backwards.
Into it. Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Good. Uh-huh. All right. Does it say where I work?
Maryland
I tried to put
English
that.
Institute.
Yay, it worked. Uh-huh. And what's a preset?
A preset.
It's telling me, please enter a name for your preset first. Anyway, no matter.
You can, mm-hmm. I was going to answer the question. The preset is just a way that you can actually set your lower third. So you might have several lower thirds depending on the type of interaction or community that you're participating in. So it's just a way to save this.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. So, yes, in addition to working there, I'm also a webhead, and this year I'm the lead coordinator for the Electronic Village Online, and trying to spread the word. Call for proposals is out, and we'd love to have some of you guys put in proposals, or participate, or both. And I'm outside
EVO
Washington
sessions.
D.C.
evosessions.pbworks.com.
Yes.
I'll put the link in the text chat.
Thank you. I'm still mm-hmm. trying to get out of my Hangout toolbox. I will mute my mic.
Just click on the chat tool, and it'll put it over there. Okay, so next over is Lucia, I believe. I recall from the text chat that I just helped transcribe that Lucia was having trouble getting her mic going. So you have to unmute yourself. Is your mic working, Lucia? Maybe she doesn't. Can you hear us?
She said she had problems with the audio now.
Ah,
in the chat
okay.
She wrote.
Well, let's come back to her. Oh, no, there she is. Maybe she's got it now. Lucia, can you hear us? Maybe shall we move to Diana? And then we'll come back to Lucia.
Hello, everyone. I'm the newbie here, and I'm very happy to be here with you. So I'm the tutor of English from Ukraine. And, I'm trying when I have just some time off my job. I have, I have joined several groups and tried to learn new things, which I really love to do. So, lifelong learning. This is my motto. So, I'm learning.
Good. Do you know Lena Lilkum? Are you a colleague
no.
of Lena's? Nina's? Sorry.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, she's somebody joins us from Ukraine every now and then.
Ah, okay, no. Uh-huh. I don't know her.
Okay, and Claude?
I'm Claude Almansi, and I started using subtitling tools sort of 7 years ago, and I was immediately fascinated by the possibility for education. I mean, subtitling is first and foremost for including deaf people, but as soon as I saw how it worked, I thought, what a great thing for education. And I'll try to present some of the things we can do with subtitling tools in schools.
Okay, next over is Benjamin Stewart, who has, I'm going on vacation after this week, and Benjamin is stepping in next week to try to help keep learning together moving forward. And many volunteers who want to come forward in the next couple of weeks, we have Benjamin actually set up a Google Doc for that, so you can enter your name there, or you can also write on the wiki. Anyhow, that's an aside, but thank you very much, Benjamin, for doing that. And tell us about yourself.
Sure. And I'll try to include that link a little bit later for those who are either watching this recording or for those who wish to participate in the coming weeks in your absence, Vance. Yeah, my name is Benjamin Stewart, and I'm an American, and I live in Aguascalientes, Mexico. I teach pre-service English language teachers at a public university here, and I have my website here if you want to know a little bit more. I'll include the link here in my lower third, so I'm happy to be here and look forward to learning more about Amada.
And that gentleman on the far end is Andreas. Andreas, nice to see you. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine. Thank you. Hello to everybody. Thank you, Vince. I'm here because Lucia is a student of mine in some sort of online courses I'm giving. Claude is claiming to be a student of mine too. Actually, she is a powerful co-worker. And I'm a physicist playing and hacking with education stuff since, don't know, some 10 years, something like that. Now I was trying to deliver a CMOOC, Connectivist MOOC, last 3 months. And now I'm experimenting something different. So that's why I'm here. Thank you, Vince.
Yeah, what a nice MOOC it was, apparently. And, well, okay, well, when we get Lucia back, looks like she's gone off to find some missing devices. But anyway, Claudia, do you want to tell us a little bit about Amara?
Yes, Amara was first called Universal Subtitles. And it's an online subtitling tool which produces, first one thing, I'm not going to make differences between captions and subtitles because they are not the same for English people and for English American people. So I say subtitling, and then I say translating when you use already made subtitles to make them in another language. So Amara started as Universal Subtitles, and the great advantage of it, and Lucia will be able to testify to that, is that it is extremely simple to use. You just transcribe what you hear, and then you synchronize it with the audio, and then the software produces the subtitles. And that was the basic application back in 2010. And then they added a lot of other things, and it became a little less simple, but it remains still the simplest way of producing subtitles for a video. So apart from the interest for the deaf people, it's also very useful for schools, because I'm from Switzerland, so take a kindergarten in Switzerland where they speak dialect, a sort of esoteric Swiss-German dialect. The teacher could make a video, subtitle it in German, then other people could translate the subtitles in all sorts of language, and that video would have an audience with all the other teachers and maybe even kids of kindergartens this way. So this is why I've been using Amara for a long time. And then we can speak also of, say, alternative ways of using Amara afterwards.
Put your number in? It's not taking it.
Let me see if
I can mute. So you have to go manual.
Lane here, okay. Might have worked. All right, okay. She's trying to set herself up, obviously, getting some help. That's Lane Marshall. And also, Anna Christina Pratas has just joined us. Is your mic working, Anna Christina? Nope. Okay, well, we can read your lips.
It's working now. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Uh-huh.
Great. Okay. Good evening, everybody, from Al Ain in the UAE. Thank you very much, Vance and everybody.
Okay. Cloud was just telling us a little bit about Amara.org and how easy it is to use to caption videos and other media, I presume.
Yes, I've even used it to translate text. I made a very long video without anything in it. Then I created false subtitles for a short story by Cory Doctorow. And then I translated between the subtitles into Italian. That was quite fun to do, but it's not the best way of translating the text, but it works quite well. You can do all sorts of things with the caption, subtitling. Because basically what it does, it allows you to transcribe and then to time, if you want, but not by force, what you've transcribed. And then you can download the subtitles, either as subtitles with a time indication or just as a transcript. And that Andreas did this afternoon with Lucia's translation of the last meeting about the CMOOC. He downloaded the Italian translation, and then he slightly edited it for readability, but he pasted it in his blog. And so that's what I like about textual subtitling versus subtitling in a video, apart from the fact that I'm very clumsy with my hands, and if I have to burn in subtitles in a video, it takes me hours. But it's also because if you have a separate text file that shows the subtitles in the video, you can then do all sorts of things with the text file.
Now, to make the text file, you have to do it yourself, or can you, suppose YouTube already has a transcription of some sort, can you use that?
Sometimes
it does. Sometimes it's junk.
We've done that, I remember, with another subtitler, with a video of the U.S. presidential campaign. It looked as if the automatic captions were reusable. So we stuck through it. But, I mean, it was fun, too. I mean, we didn't use Amara directly. We used something called Google Translator Toolkit, which you can use from your video in YouTube when you already have subtitles. So we asked PBS, because it was a PBS video, to just save the automatic subtitles as if they were real English subtitles, then ask for a translation into English of the English subtitles. And then we corrected, because what the toolkit does is that it gives you the original subtitles and it gives you the automatic translation. So, of course, there you had the toolkit translating bad English into bad English. And then we just corrected the second part. It was fun, but, I mean, we never did it again. I mean, it probably took us twice as much as if we had restarted from scratch. But it's going to become possible. Automatic captions are still total rubbish, and you must never offer them for listening. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes it's very vulgar. And there was one case of an Italian video of the Deaf Institute in Italy. And at one point, a woman said corona, which means crown, and the auto captions said fanculo, which means fuck off. And there was no reason why corona should become fanculo, I mean, no phonetical reason. So it's better to, I mean, if you have auto captions on a YouTube video, it's much better to do real captions because you'll find some appalling things in the auto caption. I think I have some pretty funny ones in some of Andrea's own videos, actually, but I can't remember them offhand. But yeah, sometimes it works, but it will work, I'd say, in a couple of years' time. This will completely change subtitling because it's improving really all the time, the automatic recognition.
Just a quick word to Lucia, who's in the stream. Maybe Lawan is there too. Lawan Dalha has been popping in and out. Right now we have 8 people in the Hangout, and there should be room for 10. So that's just an announcement in case you're listening in the stream. You should be able to get in if you act fast on this one-time offer. Anyway, well, we have 2 places, actually. That's pretty good. Is there any questions for Cloud at this point?
Or? The work in progress yesterday. I joined a mod. I'm afraid that I
move your headphone down. Headphone isn't. Yeah.
Can you hear? Should I start again?
That's better.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I had raised it to eat my apple. So yesterday I was looking at the video that's not a video with Vance and you all. I couldn't manage to do anything with it. I mean, I didn't recognize the different pages from the Titan Pad type thing, which is Dragon Pad or whatever wherever the instructions were. I couldn't recognize the pages I was on when I would click on the subtitle. It looked like I should be able to edit it, but I couldn't edit it. So, like, I was just looking at it, but couldn't do anything. And I'm also afraid that I jumped in and linked my YouTube account to that, as you then told me that I shouldn't do. So I wondered if I could undo that somehow. Anyway, so that was my experience, and I wonder if you could comment on that.
Yes, well, unlinking your YouTube account, you should have a link in your Amaro account to do that. If not, you go to your Google account, and there is a setting, but then I can put the link maybe, perhaps not right now, on how to do that. But from your Google account, you can also review all the apps you have authorized to do things to your account.
Okay.
And then you can revoke authorization. Then you'll be still landed with the link that Amara has put on all your videos, and this you'll have to delete by hand.
What will it have put on all my videos?
Something saying, help us caption this video at, and then there's a URL for an Amara page.
Actually, most of my videos are private, so it wouldn't make any difference anyway.
Then you mustn't worry about that. But many people hadn't realized that when they had a video that was unlisted, it would get pumped to Amara with the link put and all that. At one point, there's a thread in the help forum which was about asking for the deletion of videos and subtitles. And they got so swamped by requests from people who had done the syncing but didn't mean the effects that they just changed the conditions and said they'd only delete videos when there was a DMCA takedown request, which I thought was a little odd for something that was meant to be open and free in its spirit. But anyway, I mean, the trick is if you've done that and then you find yourself with Amara pages for videos you don't want Amara pages for, you first of all unsync the two things, so you are not going to get the Amara subtitles fed automatically without any possible control to your YouTube video. And then, well, if you then want to have the subtitles, you can start them on the Amara page, and then you decide when you want to add them to your video. As Andreas has done with several of the videos that we subtitled in the in the CMOOC, and we made the subtitles, and he fished them from the Amara page, and he added them to his video. And unless you have thousands of videos, like, say, TED conferences, it really doesn't make sense to have subtitles directly to your video. They sit to download a subtitle file and then add it to your YouTube video. It's, I mean, there at least you've got control. The syncing to YouTube thing might be a good idea if they give users control about what's happening, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get vandals. You know Gangnam Style? You know the Gangnam Style video by Psy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, just before Christmas, someone vandalized the Spanish subtitles of that on Amara, but really vulgarly. I mean, I'm no prude, but that was really very vulgar. And that stopped there because there was no direct connection to the YouTube video. But otherwise, had Sai done that, had he synced his videos, the extremely vulgar subtitles would have gone directly on his YouTube video with almost, back then, a billion views. I mean, it's really inciting vandalism, this thing, as it is set up. So if you can help me trying to convince Amara to give people moderating control about what is getting back to their YouTube video, I'd be very grateful. Because,
it makes me actually not very... It makes me kind of reluctant to participate in this. It seems like we shouldn't be able to change people's videos on YouTube. I mean, maybe you can make a new one with subtitles, but you shouldn't be able to change it irretrievably. So.
Exactly. That's really one of the issues. It's an issue. And also there's the issue vice versa, of people not knowing that the subtitles are going directly to YouTube. Of course people can download them and add them. But then if you find your subtitles this way, you can go to the person and say, hey, please say I've done the subtitles or something. There's a communication. But if the person has synced accounts, there's no... He'll say, oops, sorry, it's automatic. I didn't even know you had started subtitling. You're saying the subtitles just arrived. But I think this is a very important issue, and I've been very sanguine about it on the help forum. But I think maybe it's better if we, perhaps it was your problem. Did you manage to edit the subtitles you sent? Nina?
Yes. I'm sorry, you're kind of alternately freezing, and I didn't get the question.
No, you had a problem with editing subtitles.
I wasn't able to edit anything. But so I don't know if I was in the right place.
On the subtitle page, did you see the edit link on top right?
Yeah, there's a tab. It's an edit tab.
I think I did. Mm-hmm. Let me go back and look at what I was looking at.
That lets you in, and then I think I didn't understand. There were three choices. One is cancel, discard, and something else, and I pressed something else, and it said, are you just playing around? If so, really? Please discard. So that was just a... I continued, and...
You went all the way to the new editor, and...
Sorry?
You went through to the new editor, if you got that sort of message.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, it was quite simple.
Well,
I know Benjamin had a little problem with Chrome.
Yeah, I had a problem. I was, Oh, go ahead, Nina.
This is, that link is where I was, and let's see, I'm trying, because I clicked on English to view subtitles.
Yes. And on top of the English page, you should have seen edit subtitles. No, the link you gave is to the main page.
I'm trying to click on it, and it's not doing anything. Okay, here it goes. All right, so what I see at the top is subtitles, comments, revisions, and then higher than that, it's subtitle videos, watch, volunteer, pro services, help.
No, sorry.
Oh, I see edit subtitles. I see it. Okay. And somebody else is currently editing, so please wait and try again later. Okay, yeah, I think I didn't see that tab. It was kind of grayed out.
Yes, that's. And I put the beginning of that link to Stacy Weston's tutorial PDF, which is actually much clearer because it's much better set up. I mean, then the thing to roll in the paper contains the thing about all that. And if you want to try again, I'll try to get that link again. Whoops. Good.
I don't know what's happening. Is it just happening to Claude's sound, or is it everybody's sound that is
Claude's
sometimes?
Sound? Yeah, it's just kind of it's just getting a little tinny. It's obviously a bandwidth issue, but anyway, don't worry about it. It's only happening sometimes. So carry on.
But when it happens, I can't get anything.
Mm-hmm. So, Benjamin, you had a comment?
Yeah, I had a question, actually. I understand that there's an automatic pause function or option, and yesterday I spent a few minutes trying to add a video, a YouTube video, to add some subtitles, and I was able to add the video, but I started off trying to use the automatic pause, I don't remember exactly how it's labeled, function, and I couldn't get that to work, so then I went to using just the tab and the shift tab to play the video 4 seconds or repeat the video, and that worked very well. So I was able to very quickly add subtitles using the tab function, but I wasn't able to use the automatic function. So that was one of the two problems that I had yesterday. How is the automatic pause function supposed to work, and should this work on all browsers?
I must say, twice or perhaps five times, just hated it and never use it. I use, like you, the tab for stopping and restarting the video. And the 4 second one, the one for beginners, is quite good too, except that at times 4 seconds ends in the middle of a sentence. I use the advance from the start. I think that's the easiest one, even if they say that the automatic pause one is the best one. But I really dislike the automatic, because if you have a bandwidth issue, it won't stop when you want, etc. So I just skip that one. I've never used that. I mean, except for trying at the very beginning.
I'm sorry, and how does the advanced function work or feature?
Exactly like the 4 second ones. Except that you don't have the 4 second pause. You only use your tab to stop and restart, and you use shift tab to rewind. And the rewind, sometimes they say it's 4 seconds, sometimes they say it's 8 seconds, and sometimes, in fact, it's more than 8 seconds, actually. But it doesn't really matter. I mean, that's the weak point of the traditional editor. It's rewinding. It rewinds too much. Other editors have just 1 second rewind, which is much more sensible. But this changes with the new editor. In the new editor, the command is back and forward to the next and former subtitle. And that's very sensible. That's the same thing you actually have... In YouTube, you even have a subtitle editor. It works like that, and it's the same thing as well in other subtitling tools where you can move from subtitle to subtitle. The most, the finest navigation tool, I think, is in .sub. I write that here.
If I could ask a second part to another problem I was having, I was able to advance to the next phase, I guess. There's kind of like three or four steps that are involved.
Yeah.
I was able to advance to the syncing stage, but I was not able to get the syncing to work at all. I couldn't figure it out just at the few minutes that I was trying to play around with it. It looks like you play the video, and there's a red kind of vertical line that progresses that you choose where you want to insert the subtitles, and yes. I couldn't get that, either couldn't get it to work or couldn't figure it out. Is that, I guess it's working properly, I'm assuming I just did something wrong, but could you explain a little bit how that works?
Yes, again, I'm going to speak about the editor that comes up normally, not the one you get to if you say you want to try the beta new editor, because the beta new editor is another kettle of fish. So let's stick to the main one. Yes, what you do when you want to synchronize your transcript, you use that key to stop and start the video. So when you get at the end of a subtitle, you stop the video, and then you click on the buttons that are indicated on the right to mark the end of the subtitle. Is that clear?
I'll have to try to experiment with it. It's kind of hard to
see. I have linked. Yes, I've linked again Lucy Weston's tutorial, which is extremely good. And then .sub comment shouldn't be just below. That's another message I've added. But how to create captions using a Mara.pdf is really extremely good. And she's got great screen captures as well. And it is more up to date than Amara's own documentation.
I don't suppose you have a link to a demonstration, a link to maybe a demonstration where it takes the viewer through the whole process of adding subtitles. Does anyone? Do you have a link to that?
I'd have to find the Parrot Pad again. But in the Parrot Pad thing, yes, I have. The links also to the subtitled versions of the tutorials that do appear as you are using the tool. Didn't you see the video first? You know, before you started writing, didn't you see the video? It should have shown you a video. But anyway, as this is not always appearing, I've got that in the Pirate Pad somewhere. Wait. I'll get the URL of the Pirate Pad.
Yeah, I just thought that it's there.
I'm chatting with Lucia. Let's see, there's a Pirate Pad up here somewhere. I can't recognize it. Anyway, we'll find it in a moment. But I'm chatting with Lucia, and I asked her. She said that when I subtitled, she got an email with my revisions. So I asked her if you can revert Amara back to previous versions. She says yes, you can recover any version on Amara. So I suppose that's one answer to vandalism. She also said that Benjamin was asking about automatic pause, and she's typed, when you're listening, and suddenly you start typing without touching the tab key, the audio stops automatically. So I don't know if that was an answer to one of your questions, Benjamin. Is that satisfactory? Because I can't remember the question it was an answer to.
It was about automatic mode in transcribing. Okay, then if Lucia can do that, that's good. It's just that I find it very difficult to use. But, I mean, you can try if Lucia's description seems to be very convincing.
So I have another question. I like to use songs on YouTube, and it's really great when I find songs with where the subtitles are already done, but sometimes they're wrong, or sometimes they're bad English, or sometimes they have no capitalization or punctuation. Mm-hmm. And so with Amara, can I edit those subtitles, which were made God knows how, or would I have to start again?
It depends what kind of subtitles they are. If they are textual subtitles, yes. If you add the video to Amara, then the YouTube existing subtitles will be added to the Amara page, and then you can edit them. Uh-huh. If the subtitles are burnt in the video, no. If they are burnt in the video, then you have to recopy the thing and then resync it and all that. But there's a team on Amara which is called Music Captioning, where we have actually lots of songs. And what we do usually is that we find a YouTube video which doesn't have caption, then we find the caption somewhere else, because there are lots of songs that already have their caption somewhere else. And then we use the existing captions just by copy-pasting or by uploading them as transcript, and then we correct that and we sync that. And there is, I don't know if any of you know Richard Graswell. He teaches English in Bulgaria, and he has a marvelous site. I think I mentioned it somewhere in the pad. With songs, with subtitles, and then under there also activities that can be done with the songs and subtitles. And he uses Amara subtitling for that. And he's a member of the music captioning team.
I have a question, if I may.
Sure.
Claude, you initially talked about some lexical gaffes that sometimes happen, and you gave the example of Spanish and Italian. I work in the Middle East. The script is different. I also teach online occasionally to Nepal, where the script is different again. Does Amara translate scripts which are non-Roman scripts?
Yes, the Amara uses what is called UTF-8 encoding. So if a script has a UTF-8 encoding, it works. So you have, for example, you have three kinds of Chinese subtitles. And I don't know Chinese, so I don't know if the scripts also vary, but it's according to how literary or how current the language is. You can have Japanese, you have Thai, you now have even Urdu, which took a long time, you have Hindi. And yes, I'm not sure about Nepalese. What you can do is check that by trying to translate some existing subtitles, and you'll have a list of all the languages.
Great. Including Arabic. And will it include Arabic? Oh, wow. Great.
Yes. Yes. Arabic, certainly.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
I mentioned been playing with a tool called InStreamia. Actually, this is my experience with captioning, and I'm trying to, because that's what I know, I'm trying to put together the similarities between the two. And InStreamia isn't open source. It produces open source artifacts, but it's not something that you can just start. I managed to get a hold of it because I participated in LT MOOC, in which they sort of set up everybody with InStreamia accounts for a year. But anyway, I've been playing with it, and InStreamia does a lot of things. It has affordances beyond just captioning, but the captioning is the one I've been using most. And I'm finding that sometimes I try to get transcripts from YouTube videos and pull them in. And of course, you have to do, sometimes that does half the work for you, and sometimes not much of the work at all. But it's quite a lot of it's much better, of course, if you can do what you just suggested and, say, use a music video where you can go to lyrics, a lyrics site and get the lyrics and then use those and synchronize the lyrics. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I'm just so I know how that works. You find it works only with YouTube videos, so the video has to be on YouTube. But the YouTube itself isn't altered. It plays in the Streamia interface, and the captions come up below the video. And it, like Amara, you can edit those captions, and you can change the synchronization. Also, it does some parsing on them and does grammatical exercises, some vocabulary work, and things like that based on its dictionaries. Wow. But
that's great.
Yeah, it's kind of neat in that respect. But of course, I haven't really used it that much. It's very interesting. If you can actually go to Streamia.com and you can explore some of the things that the videos that other people put up there, because in theory that is open source. That is open artifact, open educational resources. Let's put it that way. Not open source, but they're open educational resources that anyone can go and play with. It's a lot of fun to go and find, say, a Latin, Spanish video that has a really exuberant singer. And you really want to understand that, and you can get translations, and you can get you get gap fills as you're listening, and it becomes a game to where you want to find the word that the missing word from a choice of distractors make the song continue.
What I hadn't realized is, if I understood correctly, InStreamia will also pump, I don't know what the technical word is, automatic captions from YouTube?
Well, no, it uses whatever is in YouTube. You know, YouTube apparently it tries to caption everything. There's usually a transcript. Sometimes there isn't, sometimes there isn't, mm-hmm. but the transcript that you find there is usually garbage. So, you know...
Will it pump the transcript? Because Amara doesn't do that.
It will. That's the nice thing about InStreamia. It actually uses your transcript. When it downloads the video into InStreamia, it downloads the transcript as well and synchronizes it. So that work is done for which is kind of neat.
Sorry. Even the automatic transcript made by YouTube gets streamed to InStreamia? Yeah,
that's it. Whatever is there. Whatever is
there
gets...
Yeah, that's the difference. Yeah. With Amara. With Amara, you have to cheat a little bit if you want the automatic. You have to pretend that it's not automatic and save it as if it were normal. And then Amara will pump it. But normally, Amara only pumps human-made subtitles from YouTube.
Mm. Yeah, sometimes... Sometimes the subtitles will be closed captioned, or somebody will use a different system. Someone has already put some work into it and set up captions. You know, there's so many different kinds, but sometimes they'll actually attempt to, put a transcript of the recording, and sometimes it's fairly accurate. So that's very useful. If you get one like that, then you can just make a few changes.
Yeah.
I have just one question for Vance, very quickly. Have you done these captions with gap fills for students, or have you gotten students to create the gap fills for the videos?
Well, that's done automatically. I'll put the link in the. I can put a link here when I get a moment. And point you to the you go to the what my students do is they go to my site or the one that my InStreamia account, and then they have to create an account, which is very simple. You just get an email address and make a password, and then you can see anything that's there in InStreamia. So I guess you need to make an account, but it's just an email address and a password and a username. Then you've got the whole field, but I can give you the link to mine so you can see what's done. But it makes about 10 or 15 different exercise types automatically based on natural language processing backend that it has. And it's a very interesting product. It doesn't work all that smoothly at the moment, but the concept is really interesting. And I wrote an article about it, which I can also put a link in. Yes. That link is in the Pirate Pad. I didn't help you do
it. Great, thank you.
Yeah. Advance. Can users also download your subtitles as with Amara or not?
I don't think so. I don't know if even you could copy paste that. It sort of comes one at a time. I think once it's in Amara, you can use it, but there's not much you can really get out of it. So well,
but
even,
I mean, in InStream.
Yeah. Awesome.
No, because for me, the really big advantage of tools like Amara, which is the one this is about, but also .sub or Subtitle Horse, and I love Subtitle Horse because it's such a great name. The great advantage is that the subtitles can be downloaded and reused in other contexts. For example, once I subtitled a video about missing people in Pakistan, and I did that with a desktop app, and then I tried to convert the time codes by hand. I made a hash of it. So I tried with several online subtitling platforms that had appeared in the meantime, and most of them sort of said, no, it's buggy. And one of them accepted the thing and fixed the subtitles. After that, I was able to reuse them on the two other platforms. And that, I think, is really the great advantage of a tool like not only Amara. Amara is nice because it is based on free and open source software. But of all those online subtitling sites that use open standard formats for the download, i.e. you can download subtitles as time codes, but you can also use SRT, which is one for format, or SBV. And now there's a new format that you can use on YouTube, which is called Web VTT, and that's really fascinating because soon you'll be able to use that to script an audio description, you know, the description of things for the blind people. Mm-hmm. And then browsers, in a couple of years' time probably, will be able to do the vocal synthesis of that. So instead of having to do a very expensive process of recording an audio description, inserting that in the video, etc., blind people will be able to switch that on and off, and if the description is too long, it will stop the video while the description is read, and that's really fascinating. And I think, for me, it's not so much having the subtitles appear on the video. Yes, that's nice and that's important, but it's what you can do with the file that makes the subtitle appear that I find fascinating. Mm. And in fact, in the sort of alternative uses I indicated, I said you could say you have not this hangout which is going to last an hour, but sometimes you have conferences and then people video record it and you have a whale of a file of 3 hours and they bang that online. And of course, nobody's going to listen to the 3 hours video. That's just, and with all the, you know, all the glitches, noises, and so on. So if you really want people to be able to use that, you first have to edit it, cut it in digestible pieces. And that you could do with a subtitling tool, because you don't have to write subtitles because it's a subtitling tool. You could write from there to there, cut, and so on. And then you use that, and you have all your time codes marked for what you want to cut and what you want to keep. Or you could have even, say, a video you haven't made yourself, but you want your students to study on a one-hour video. That's very long for students. Mm. And then you ask them not to do the whole subtitling, which takes a lot of time, but to use the tool to take notes that are synced with the video and that will appear on it. I'm not sure I'm conveying what I mean, but what I mean is that a subtitling tool just allows you to show text on a video at a given time and produces a file where these indications are present. So you can use it for heaps of other things than just subtitling, provided you can access the file, download it, and do things to it.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's one of the interesting things about in streaming is you can do things. If you want, I can show you just briefly, because I just happen to have that on the screen share. I'll just play something really quickly and you can sort of just see what it does. Okay, let's see. There we go. What have I got here? Yep, okay, that's up there. So if I grab one of these items here, oh, my window just changed. Why did it do that? Oh, no, yes, it did. It's got my email. It's not got it in StreamYard. Okay, here we go. In StreamYard, back again. Okay. Nobody read anything, right? Don't open anything. Okay, let's see here. I'm looking for the one with Space Oddity. Yeah, this is a nice one. Mm-hmm. This is the Canadian astronaut who went up into space and did the Space Oddity. So I'll pick this live listening exercise. And I don't know if you'll be able to hear anything, but it doesn't really matter. You know the song, Ground Control to Major Tom. So what you can see here is as it starts playing, I don't know if you can hear anything. If not, I wonder if I can mute it somehow. No. Okay.
I can't hear.
Anyway, okay, but anyway, you can see that you'll just see the, unfortunately, there's a little intro here. But when he says ground control to Major Tom, then you start seeing the gaps appear. So now he said ground control to Major Tom, and then he's going to repeat that, and it jumps down to the next one. Now, when he goes to the next one, there's a gap. Okay, so now, brilliant. Now you got to put your helmet on, but it stops. So if to get the song to keep playing, you have to go choose on. Yeah, put your helmet on, and then it resumes, and you get the next one. So, okay, I will stop that. Let me actually stop it here because, okay, there
That's
we go.
That's kind of complicated.
You know, the interesting thing is that it's complicated what it does, but it's not complicated what you do. What you do is just put the sync the video
word.
And then no, you don't have to do that. It does it. The software does it. So that actually would be something that if Amara.org is open source, in fact I wouldn't be surprised if they've used some Amara tools in their work. Is it open source? Is it something
that is.
Yes, okay. So
it is. But the thing of making the video go forward when you add something, I mean, Coursera MOOCs also have that in their videos, except that the video will go ahead, but at one point you'll see a little yellow thing on the subtitles, and that's where you have questions, a test that you must answer in the middle of the video.
Right.
It's
I was wondering
clever.
How they did that. It's good.
In the same way as StreamYard, I think.
Mm-hmm. Makes the video interactive.
Sorry, I'm not very convinced. I think that there's a time for everything. First, I mean, you have a lecture. I did a Coursera course on digital signal processing, which was really cheeky because I just sort of scraped through my end of high school exams in maths, and they requested high calculus competence, which I didn't have. But so what I did instead, I titled the videos. But if I had to stop and start answering questions when I was listening to that and sort of barely recognizing the logic of what the people were saying about what you did to digital things in order to make them appear in such and such a way, I'd have been lost. So maybe I think it's better to have the video. You understand the video. You work on the video. You do things to the video. You can take notes on it, and then you have the test. It's already done into the directive to be subtitling or correcting subtitles on a video or to take notes on a video. You don't have to have a test in the middle of that. I don't know. Yeah, that's perhaps where I'm an old digital immigrant, I'm afraid.
Yeah, there's so many ways to do it, but it's really interesting to find, this company automated something that, you know, you can choose from the tools. And what you're talking about, too, whatever you're talking about, putting a test in the middle or not having a test in the middle, or, you know, if you can find a script that will make that easier for you to deliver, you know, that's a nice bit of bits there, you know, that could be really useful.
Yeah, but I mean, I come from Andreas C. MOOC, mm-hmm. where it's really learner-centered. So if you start, that's already a restriction of what learners can do with a video to bang a test on it, I think. I think it's much better to have the students do things like one thing I have time to write in the parody. I started that. Scripting audio description, scripting mock dubbing, scripting misheard subtitles. That can be very funny to do. You can suggest those activities, and then the students will find their own way of exploiting the potential of syncing a text with a video. I think that if you have, I mean, if they can skip the test, that's fine. Okay, you put the test and they can skip it and they can ignore it. But the main thing for me is that they should be able to enter the editing, to download the things, and do all sorts of unholy things with the transcript.
I'd just like to thank you both because I think Amara is great for distance education if you're teaching online, whereas personally I think I would like, and I will hopefully use InStreamia in the classroom. I think it's great to have the students to create their own gap fills for songs. I don't know in my context whether I could get them to use Amara, but definitely for an online course with more adult learners. Because as you say, it's very, I think, student-centered.
Yeah, this is putting me in mind of you know, a lot of work that's gone on in video, what to do with video, that's way before digitization of it. I just put a link in the Etherpad text chat to an article about Sue Otto and James Pusak. And what they were doing was they were creating tools where you could play a video, let's say a news broadcast in German, let's say, and you could turn the subtitles, because they had closed captions at that time, you could turn those on or off. You could play the video with or without the subtitles, or see the subtitles, or see the translation. So you have different choices. In fact, I even see this in my classes when my students watch videos. Sometimes they'll choose videos with Arabic subtitles, and sometimes they'll turn those off, or sometimes they'll have subtitles in English. They're listening to something in English, and it has a subtitle. Sometimes they'll watch a karate film in Japanese as an Arabic subtitle. But anyway. So
that's like with TED.
Yeah, they're choosing, you know, how the modality that they want to experience this video, and the giving the choices to the students is the, you know, as you say, student centered. You know, this is, so if you can come up with a tool that will give students different choices for getting at the language in the video, you know, that will actually let them learn for themselves some of the language that's there. That's really valuable. And captioning is a real key to this, you know, which is why Amara is so important and why this discussion is so important.
There are a few things I'd like to mention still. Then on YouTube now, it's possible also to have a Twitter stream, appearing as closed captions. I haven't yet really started that, but this is really fascinating. You have a YouTube streaming video like the one we are presumably producing now, and then you see appearing as and live and streaming to the tweets about the video. And that, I think, is really fascinating. Then I wanted to come back to the learning with caption. There's something which is not closed caption, that is, it does produce text, but it's not a text that is available to everybody, but which is also fascinating. It's same language captioning. And the idea started in India. Professor decided that as everybody loved Bollywood songs, if TVs started showing them with karaoke-type captions, people would learn to read without even noticing. They would sort of, not learning, but keep their reading ability. It's working very well. Then there's an American professor who teaches English to students with reading difficulties, and he makes them make the karaoke subtitles. And they've done that on Shakespeare, they've done that on songs, they've done that on the Bible, and anything. They take the recording from the Internet Archive, because you have lots of books that are read aloud. They have the text as well. And then, I don't know how they do it, because I tried it, I go bonkers, because it needs such a concentration. But you sort of tap the space bar every time you want the new word to appear in the karaoke captions. And really, his students who have reading problems, they made the most beautiful videos. They also use a bouncing ball, and that's even crazier because you have to tap for each syllable so that the ball bounces on them. And I think that's really something worth exploring. Same language subtitling.
Yeah, and also getting your students to do it.
Exactly.
I think it's so important also to work with short items if you can, or give them, you know, so you got like long movies, it's going to be really difficult, but, you know.
3-minute videos.
Yeah.
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because when you start using the tool, even a tool like Amara, which is extremely simple, I mean, Andreas and I started on some Julian Assange videos in DotSub. And I remember we had moments when we just sort of exited because just simply finger problems in getting the syncing done. It's done a little bit differently on DotSub. But yeah, there is something, a manual issue as well, the manual dexterity. So it's good to start with very short things because I remember my first try at captioning, so it would take me sort of 10 minutes to get 20 seconds of video subtitle. And so, yes, don't tell them to do a 3-hour video, although it's much easier on Amara than on other platforms because you can do that collaboratively. As we did it with Lucia, she transcribed and I synced. And we did that as we went along.
Or as we've done with the video we all just worked on for the LTIS 13
that's
session that we had. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we also with someone else, something on a documentary about Pompeii. The other subtitle is from Indonesia, and he was interested. Also for theological reasons, he's a Muslim, but he was interested in Pompeii as an example of God punishing people, or humanity. Anyway, we started, and I'd been to Pompeii, he hadn't. So, and it was done by the actor who did Dr. Spock in Star Trek. Very well done. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I would transcribe, and at the end I would put the moment I had reached in the video, and he said, look, you don't have to do that, because we don't have to do it as Amara says. You don't have to do all the transcript and then caption. and then synchronize. You can transcribe, and then you start synchronizing, and you go on transcribing. It works too. And that's sort of the trick that's important, because it's far as discouraging if you can already see some subtitles appear before you've done the whole thing. And that's a sort of little trick that people find on their own. I mean, when we did the activity for with LT13, there were two big bugs happening on Amara while other people were starting to subtitle. They were totally unfazed. I mean, I've known people who, with far more experience, sort of losing it when the bug struck. They just went along. They found alternative ways to go on working. And it's quite easy to do that if you have perhaps not read too much theory about how it works. I think what really helped them sort of sail through these big bugs was that, that's not looking as it should look. So what can I do? And they found workarounds. Because Amara is still extremely simple in its concept. That's what makes me slightly... I mean, I must try InStreamia. But I thought it was slightly too... doing too many things at a time.
No, look at it and see. And try it in another language, because I just find it's really compelling. What sucked me into it was doing it in Spanish and playing the videos and my, you know, is my I+1 or I+2, whatever the crash in theory is. It was just drawing me into it. And those guys say in their interviews and in their lectures that they're really challenged to create material, because they run MOOC-like courses for language learners, and they're always getting feedback from either their English teachers they're working with or their language learners, and they're just finding that they're very challenged to keep content coming because the students are eating it up, sort of. So I don't know. Just try and see if it appeals. You know, the idea, I think, it would be to get so many tools there that some of them, like there's a translation tool, which I think is awful. I mean, I'm not at all interested in translating from Spanish to English, but to just understand what's going on, there are tools that you can be challenged on. So, you know, there's so many options, because once you've got one video synced with its transcript, then all the other tools work on it. So, you know, whatever they do, you don't have to use them. You can if you want.
Oh, I wanted just to say something about translating. Unfortunately, Amara has a feature that says translate with Bing. And it's probably the worst thing you can do if you are translating together with other people. It's really idiotic. I mean, if a video has subtitles on YouTube, you can get, as a viewer, you can get the automatic translation of the existing subtitles, okay? You just click on the CC thing, you have a list of languages, and you have Translate Beta, and you get your Google translation of the existing subtitles, but you've asked for them as a viewer. As a publisher, as a whatever, you can't force that sort of thing onto people as if it were a translation. And, I've tried long to convince Amara to withdraw this feature, but apparently some people want it, so okay, we have it, but don't use it, please.
I'm going to have to step out. I've got some things I have to do to prepare for my vacation. Meet people and hand a key over, that sort of thing. Mundane
tasks. Where are you
going, fans? I'm going to start with Bali and meet my wife and son there. Then we're going to go to Komodo pretty quickly, get off of Bali.
As in dragons?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
As in diving.
Have a great time.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Can we follow a blog or something?
I've got a little space in my suitcase. but anyway, it's very nice of everyone to come and populate this event. the Christina and Andreas and Benjamin is here, and Cloud, of course, and Diana, and Halima came from Ukraine. She's been here all this time. Lawan is the wall that we see there, but he did try to come, and Nina, and myself. That's nine of us, so there was room in the chat. Lucia had to leave because of connectivity problems with the Hangout, but she's still there, and I even think I see a JL who might be listening on the stream from the Etherpad chat window. I've got to teach people how to put your name there. Anyway, there's some screenshots if you're interested. You can open some of the screencasts and see how you use that Etherpad tool. But won't do that now. But anyway, this is a Learning Together event from the 14th of July, 2013. We've been talking with Claudi and Lucia, who've been doing this work on amara.org and showing us this really neat open source tool. And we've been talking about the possibilities for it. And next week, Benjamin is going to bring his community, teachers, most I4 interested in, well, what is TIL? Tell us about TIL, Benjamin.
It's an acronym that stands for Teachers for Interactive Language Learning, and it's just a community I set up. And next week we'll be talking about gamifications, virtual classrooms, basically games and language learning. So if anyone is interested in participating, we'd love to have you and share some of your experiences and ideas on the matter. And I have included a link in the chat where you can check out the event that I created. And so, yeah, love to have you if anyone is interested in participating in the discussion. Thanks,
same
everyone.
Time, Benjamin? Will it be the same time as today?
The same time, yes.
Yes, the same time, yes.
Okay. And also, as I notice those events from wherever I have Wi-Fi, it should be an easy matter for me to just transfer them to the learningtogether.pbworks.com page so that we'll keep track of what's going on. And there are a couple of Sundays and Mondays there that are still open. If someone would like to do a session, you can, or just start a discussion. Get with Benjamin. Benjamin would probably be happy to do it. Just tell him what you want. And he's created a little Google Doc, which I've got linked somewhere from all our spaces. But anyway, you can find it if you look hard. Here's a document where you can write in. Anybody can go to and write in any suggestions for events or topics you'd like to discuss. But anyway, that's a way of keeping this crowdsourcing going over the summer. And I'm certainly glad that Benjamin stepped in and offered to do something there. So anybody else wants to grab the ball, it might get tossed off in a backward pass after next week. So if you want to catch it, you can. And that applies to anybody who's listening to the audio from this in the podcast, because I make an MP3 recording from the YouTube video, and I post that at learningtogether.net, along with the archive, which will get stored there. So that's, in a nutshell, how Learning Together works.
Thank you all.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
Claude.
Thanks,
everybody.
Thank you very much. Great ideas.
Thank you for your inputs. And I must explore and stream, yeah, beyond prejudices. Thank you very much.
Ciao.
Yeah, you can have a look. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much.